Late December by the sound of Jura. Red bracken on the hills. Rain, snow, hail and rain. The deer are coming down. The lochs dripped in ice. The stars blue and bright. I have tried to write to friends, but there is no continuing. I gaze out over the sound and see hills gleaming in the icy sun. Walls. On the first wall was a print of Hokusai. On the second was an x-ray photo of my ribs. On the third was a long quotation from Nietzsche. On the fourth was nothing at all. That's the wall I went through before I arrived here. Round north again. A blue-grey stillness where the dark waters flow, night of the heron. That branch among the fern was a red stag sheltering from the rain. Why did he return to that empty island, bog caught in the wind? Storm brewing, the world about to fall apart, the cormorant's black cackle. A grey shore and a battered herring box, Scott of Stornoway. Strathclyde. Early morning, a cold light blustering over the firth. 10 tolls on Columba's clock. Nice morning, isn't it? A ferry leaving for the islands. Gulls swarming round a fishing smack out there in the windy whiteness. Love dwells along the margins of the sea and in the mind. Late summer journey. The afternoon washed itself out with rain, and a little rainbow appeared above Barra, almost too good to be true. 2 hours later, all the blues having changed into greys, South Uis was a chain of black islands lit coldly by the moon. Luda Jetty. The small motorboat has putted its way out to the fishing. The bus has passed by to collect the children for school. The red postal van has delivered the mail. Now, here at Luda Jetty, there is only the wind and the light, the cry of a peewit, and the lipping of grey water on white sand. Last page of a notebook. A bird yell emptied my skull. Ricks of hay lined the fields. A fishing smack lay at quiet anchor. It was Kyle of Town. On a blue morning. A high blue day on Scalpe. This is the summit of contemplation, and no art can touch it. Blue, so blue, the far-out archipelago, and the sea shimmering, shimmering. No art can touch it. The mind can only try to become attuned to it. To become quiet and space itself out. To become open and still unworlded. Knowing itself in a diamond country. In the ultimate unlettered light. Xenophanes of Colophon. Poet and philosopher. When the Persians invaded Asia Minor, he moved to Sicily. Walking around the shore of that island, he wrote, "Even if you stumble on some rocks of the truth, you'll never know it all." He spoke of sea, wind, earth, clouds and rivers, and said that God was round. Found on the shores of the Black Sea. Ovid talking. I remember the rain at Brindisi that November. Virgil there 20 years before, shaking with malaria and so sick with humanity it had burnt his most ambitious book. It whispered round the inn where we drank the last wine and drummed, hummed and drummed on the roof of the cabin. Brindisi, with its homely fishing smacks clustered in the harbour and the long white beaches of the Calabrian coast. I, at that time, a broken man, taking a last whiff of Italy, the fishy keys, the olives and the cypresses, before moving out by the narrow channel into a grey Adriatic that smelt only of salt and a wind of exile whipping the sails. But look out there in the waves, Proteus, that pharaoh of the seals. Europe in the fall. After surveying around the Black Sea with a little Stambouli, I came back into Europe via Athens. Rain in the olive trees and not a living soul in the Acropolis. Where is everybody gone? Where the hell have they gone? All gone down into the plain. I sit in an empty cafe, drinking Turkish coffee, looking out on the rain. The last days of the academy. By the Christians' order, the doors were closed. So they went into exile, the last seven. Damascius the Syrian, Simplicius the Cilician, Eulamius the Phrygian, Priscianus the Lydian, Hermes and Diogenes Phoenicians, and Isidorus, who was from Gaza. They went first to Persia, then dispersed, each one alone, walking into the emptiness. Theory. The white cell, almost in darkness. Outside, rocks in eruption, sea silence waving, it is there. Rough shape, clifted, that quartz, chaos given, assured, tide washed, and in the good space gazed at. Cast, the first stone. Only the thrust and the not silver, not white, not crystal splash. No reading in the widening circles. Great reason grasped, the 12-worded orator walks on the shingle with quiet eyes. A morning's work. The old black man, in tattered shirt and faded blue shorts, walks up and down the beach, up and down the beach, slowly, all morning, on the lookout. Then suddenly he crouches, eyes fixed, and stalks into the sea, his net at the ready, casts it, and carefully hauls it in. 10 silver fish, flapping in its meshes. A fragment of yellow silk. Among all that display of ancient treasure, one thing remains in my mind. A fragment of yellow silk. Hardly bigger than a breast or a hand. Unearthed on the road from Chang'an to Antioch via Samarkand. A raw blue morning in Antwerp. The rumbling of lorries along innumerable quays. Batavia Strat, Montevideo Strat, the sun's an eternally uncut diamond. While the Noviana from Copenhagen unloads tomato juice, Maria Jose counts her cash in the Caribbean bar. Letter from Amsterdam. It's raining. It's been 8 weeks long, dark raining. And I've been sitting in this empty room, listening to the rain. It's a Europe of rain. All the bullshit of Europe washed away in the rain. And if I speak of Europe, it's because I'm thinking of India, looking at a photograph cut from a newspaper pinned to my wall. The photo of a woman, an Indian woman, a pariah woman, her dark, very dark face lit by a smile, a very naked smile, the white laughter of Shiva. Joseph Martin's report. The expedition lasted more than 6 months. We marched 125 days. The journey was 2,500 versts long, and 600 of which we had to hack our way with axes. We lost all the horses and 7 dogs. 2 men died, 1 went mad. The land is beautiful. West Labrador. Cold sun in the taiga, at times a faint rainbow. Thick moss on the forest floor, rivers, lakes, rapids. Ice on the Shefferville dirt roads, thin snow on the forest ground. Indians out prowling with 30-30s on a hunt for caribou, hare, or white partridge. Ungava. Ever listen to the wind? Ever listen to the ice? Ever listen to the wind and the ice? That's Ungava. The name comes from an Eskimo word, Ungawak, the furthest place. Atchawakamik. Up on the edge of Hudson's Bay, between the River Severn and the River Winnisk, there is a place called Atchawakamik. In the Cree language, that means a place to watch from. They see on the point of dying, an old man planted his wigwam there, so that in his dying he might see the forests and the waters and the breath of the Great Spirit. If you go up there one day, try and see with his eyes. Autumn afternoon. Big silence here on the north coast, a few miles up from Thunder River. I drink the last of the whiskey, watching the maple leaves burn in the frosty light. I'm saying goodbye to something, but I don't know what. Southwest Corner News. Blue, misty morning, sun, white thistle. Can't see the mountains, but there's snow on the peaks. Fell last week night, will be gleaming noon. Egyptian tanks crossing Suez Canal, Israeli reservists rushing to battle. Red autumn here in southwest corner. Pyrenean silence, privileged, absolute. Drinking tea in rice grain bowl. Somewhere somebody has to reach the cool. Prose for the Col de Marie Blanc. Winter deep in the mountains. Thick falling snow. Here at the Col de Marie Blanc, we're walking slowly. No study, no book learning. You just let it filter through the mind. There's nothing at all impressive about the Col de Marie Blanc. Just a little mountain pass. No place for sensational exploits. Something else. A reality man has the diamond of knowledge. The path moves up through the wood, pine, oak, birch. There's nothing much to be said. We don't talk. We just put one foot in front of the other and let the snow do the work. Only wolves live in the dark, silent wood. We're the white wolves of those final spaces. We love this distance, this winter light. Our life is secret. It's no longer ours. If the great frost has never bitten the branches, how can plum blossom be fragrant? When they ask me what religion I belong to, I'll say the religion of the Col de Marie Blanc. Blue thistle sermon. Blue thistle on the dunes. Blue burning thistle on the dunes. Its roots in sand, but sturdy as hell. The sun beats on me in the blue thistle this long afternoon. I contemplate the blue thistle, and the blue thistle contemplates them all. The old sea chapel at Pampal. Inside, religious rigmarole. But here on the grey stone wall, austere and plain, exposed to wind and sleet and rain, the ex-votos. In memory of Sylvestre Bonnard, captain of the sloop Mathilde, lost in Iceland. To the memory of Sylvestre Camus, lost in the region of the Northern Fjord, in Iceland. The eye moves on down the beach, where, on the shingle line, bulky and black, somebody's mending a boat. A letter from Wisconsin. It comes in an almost illegible scrawl. From North 85th Street, Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. And I wonder what crazy man's written it. Full of American intellectual ease, the sinews of entropy, congruency to my reality. Yet it pleases me. It pleases me well. There's a wild coolness back of the jargon. A man's voice in Wisconsin and the silence under Orion. On the quay at Lannion. There they were on the quay at Lannion, mother and daughter selling spider crafts. Big ones, real beauts. And I said, where were those fish from? Our place, she said. At Pampal, beyond the hollow rocks. Meditant. It was the cool talk of the gulls he liked, and rain whispering at the western window. Long days, long nights, moving into what was always nameless, for the walls were hung with maps, and below him lay a library of signs. Outside, at the end of that dark winter, he saw blue smoke, green waters, as he'd never seen them before. They were enough. A black crow busy on a branch made him laugh aloud. The shape of the slightest leaf entertained his mind. His intellect danced among satisfactory words.